Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to another official Redbird Rant podcast episode. I am going to be your host tonight. My name is Tito Rivera, and I am joined by one of our great contributors, Larry Levin. Larry, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Tito. I'm a little bummed tonight because MLB Channel has decided to show Major League 2, which is clearly one of the worst sequels of all time. So I'll suffer through it while I sit here and have a great chat with you, man.
Yeah, not to mention that they play I'm pretty sure they play Major League 2 almost daily at this point. So
yeah,
sure, I'm sure everybody's seen that movie on MLB Network at least five different times at this point. But yeah,
exactly.
I'll tell you what, I'm a little bummed tonight as well because, you know, for as little action as happening, boy, when I mean little, there's no action happening so far in the GM meetings, and we'll get a little bit more into that. But that's where I'm a little bummed about. But we've got a great show tonight. Hope you guys are ready to listen and excited to listen to what we have to say. We are going to go ahead and kick it off with the GM meetings. They are still ongoing right now. They've got about two more days before they wrap things up. Then they take a little break, and then they head to the winter meetings later in December. So, Larry, Giancarlo Stanton rumor mill is up and churning, and it has been going on pretty much all week and pretty much since the offseason started. So what's the latest that you've been hearing on what Giancarlo Stanton's movement is or may not be moving?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we hear something and then we hear the immediate opposite. We hear, you know, that he's definitely going to get moved. And then we hear, you know, the new ownership group say, no, he won't necessarily get moved. Then we hear rumors that he won't go to St. Louis or Boston. And then we hear other rumors that say, no, I haven't heard that. Michael Hill certainly has played it very close to the vest. He says he's talked to Stanton and that Stanton, you know, has given him some ideas about where he might go, but they're not revealing much of anything so far. So, you know, I think, you know, the Cardinals have been, you know, known to have discussions with the fish. And, you know, I think probably right now we're about as, you know, in it as tight as we can be, along with the other teams that have been named, like the Red Sox and Giants and a couple others. And the other thing is interesting, Tito, I want your opinion on, is teams seem to drift in and out of this discussion. I mean, you know, for a few days it'll be the Giants are hot and heavy, and then word leaks out that the Giants maybe don't want to play at that level. You know, people mention the Dodgers as a likely culprit because they have money and prospects, and then it's like, well, you know, maybe they don't want to. And Kershaw, they'll have to reckon with Kershaw's, you know, renewal after 2018, and will they want to do that in Stanton, especially when they have a bunch of heavy hitters already on the roster. So I'm curious what you think, and then we can talk about trade possibilities.
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing about what's going on with Giancarlo Stanton. You've got pretty much all rumors, no facts, and nothing really else to go off of. And so you're kind of left to wonder or speculate yourself, well, maybe today's the day he gets traded, or maybe today we hear something more concrete. And so for me, I think the most interesting aspect about this, and you kind of touched on it, is the in and out of teams surrounding Stanton. I think it's all just fuel to the fire. I don't think there's
probably
really anything concrete behind the Dodgers being in it. I mean, sure, he was, you know, for the longest time we've heard he wants to play on the coast, and particularly maybe LA or San Francisco. And while that may be true, the team still has to be able to trade with Miami. Miami still has to accept a trade from somewhere. And the Cardinals find themselves in the best possible position. Because I'm telling you right now, if I had the league's MVP, and congratulations to Giancarlo Stanton for winning that tonight, I have the NL MVP, reigning NL MVP, and I'm trying to move him. I'm looking for prospects. I don't care. You know, I know I need to get rid of a lot of money here, but I want some prospects in return. And if a team doesn't have prospects, I don't care if they take 100% of that money. Sure, that'd be great. And, you know, that's off my hands. Great. But I'm getting nothing out of it. What, just chump change? No, that's not good enough. So I find it interesting that these teams float in and out saying, oh, we have all this money, but, you know, not really any prospects. The Dodgers, while they do have some prospects, but you mentioned it, they still have to compete with Clayton Kershaw's impending free agency, most likely, because that's what he's going to do. He'd be crazy not to. But, you know, you look at a team like Boston. They've expanded their farm system. And then you turn to the Cardinals, and everybody's been saying it all offseason. The Cardinals are in the best position to deal because they have young pitching prospects, young outfield talent, and that's exactly where the Marlins are going to go. I personally don't see the Cardinals not coming to a deal. It's all going to be up to whether Stanton takes, you know, accepts that his fate is in St. Louis. Now, for the reports that come out that say, oh, well, he doesn't want to go to St. Louis, that's a bunch of bull crap. I don't buy that one bit. There's not a single player in Major League Baseball that would say, oh, that wouldn't want to play for St. Louis. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Cardinal fan, but you go around the league and you go to other places is that you can see pitchers, take Chris Archer, for instance, who said St. Louis is a great city and they've got great fans. He's not just saying that because he can. He saw it with his own eyes. So don't tell me, nobody could tell me that he doesn't want to play for St. Louis.
Well, you know what kind of baseball town it is, you know, that they compete every year, you know, that they have incredible front, you know, management. So yeah, it's a winner. Also, Stanton's 27. You know, in 10 years or 13 years when he retires, he can spend the rest of his frickin' life living wherever he wants to live.
And honestly, think about the other teams that have been mentioned. The San Francisco Giants, they're not close. They are not close to a title. Mm-hmm. They still have a lot of things to rework in their own team before they can get close. And what has Stanton constantly said this last year? He's tired of losing. He wants to win. The closest teams that are vying for him right now are the Dodgers, the Cardinals, and Red Sox. I don't see him going to anywhere else unless the Marlins decide, you know what, hey, we can't trade you. We're just going to try and win with you now. And they can go out and do that, but that would be very difficult to do, though.
You know, I think the best argument for that is it's, you know, new ownership's first year, and, you know, they don't want to look like idiots trading away the, you know, the reigning MVP, blah, blah, blah. But they also know that the longer they wait, you know, to make a deal for the guy, you know, the farther away they are from rebuilding toward, you know, serious competition. So I had a crazy, crazy thought tonight, and I don't know where it came from, but I think it was spurred by a couple of different ideas that I heard over the last few days. One is that the Giants, you know, obviously they're very interested in outfielders, and they've even expressed interest in the Cardinal outfielders, right, because they know that we have a surplus. Then there was also a rumor a few days ago. It wasn't a rumor. I saw it actually posted by a shrewd Red Sox fan on one of their sites, and it was like, you know, if they wanted to trade for Stanton, you know, could they send Milton Bradley to San Francisco?
Milton Bradley played a long time ago.
Right. Get prospects and then do the deal with Miami. So that got me thinking tonight, you know, what if there were the possibility, Tito, of a three-way deal where the Cardinals could satisfy the Giants' needs for outfielders, and not just prospects, but they got Biscotti, who we know, you know, very much, you know, loves the, you know, Northern California where he's from. We have Grichik, who you and I would both love to see dealt. You know, and then San Francisco has some young prospects that they're willing to deal. So what do you think about the crazy idea of a three-way where the Cardinals pick up the Stanton contract, you know, maybe trade one prospect or something. Cardinals ship outfielders to San Francisco, and San Francisco sends prospects over to Miami. What do you think about that?
It wouldn't be the craziest thing I've heard in a long time, but let me ask you this in kind of retaliation to it. When was the last time a three-team trade had happened
in the
MLB?
It's really hard. It's really hard. And they play their cards so close to the vest, and everybody's so damn competitive, you know, you have to loosen and open yourself up a little bit to be willing to do it. So,
And that is the difficult part because, like I said, it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard because it makes sense on paper, right? Logistically, it could make sense. But I think there is so much competition between the two teams that, you know, in my recent memory, the Giants are pretty much the only team that can beat the Cardinals in the playoffs. I don't want to do anything to help them out. And so
I hear you there, although I would argue this is a rarity on a three-way because you have three teams that are each in separate divisions, right? So you have an East and you have a Central and you have a West. So you know, and right now, you know, with the Dodgers kind of riding the crest of their wave, you know, and certainly there being, you know, other good competition in that division with Arizona and maybe continuing with Colorado. Yeah, it may be that, you know, Giants, you know, sending people to the Giants may not be the worst of our fears at this point. So,
Maybe not. And I think the only reason why the Cardinals would do it is a money move. And the crazy thing is whoever they send in particular to the outfield, whether it be Piscotty or Grichik, relative to what Stanton would bring in annual-wise, is very low. And so I think the Cardinals are looking for any possible way to save money while bringing in money. And the only way they do that is probably by moving Piscotty first over Grichik, which I'm not saying is a terrible thing, but at the same time, I would rather see it the other way. I'd rather Grichik go first than Piscotty.
Would you deal both?
Well, yeah, I think there's, of course, there's, you know, in...
I mean, if you have Sam Fowler, Stanton, and all of our other guys.
If you land Stanton, there's no reason you don't trade both of them. Exactly. And for instance, maybe in some kind of scenario, Grichik is an outfielder that goes to Miami, and that's fine.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But you have a player in Piscotty whose position is right field. He's not very good in left, and you know he's not going to play center. You already have two outfielders in Dexter Fowler and Tommy Pham. Piscotty wouldn't have any room on the team, and so he would have to be dealt at some point.
Right.
And so, and I think that's what he said that, and that's kind of the direction I think the Cardinals are going to go. So, yeah, I would deal both. It's just to who am I dealing them or to whom I'm dealing them. Because at the end of the day, if I decide, you know what, Piscotty is going to go to a West Coast team, I don't want him in the National League. I'd rather him go somewhere that isn't going to hurt the Cardinals in the long run, potentially. And so I'm looking to deal him to an Oakland or a Seattle or even the Tampa Bay Rays, as we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Right.
So what do you say to that?
I don't have a problem with him being in the National League. I really don't. For me at this point, solidifying the outfield with what we really want here, you know, with my goodness, if we had a Fowler, Pham, Stanton outfielder, you know, and we could send Piscotty out of the division and we could alleviate ourselves of the Randall Grichuk issue, and we still were able to hold on to, you know, most of our young promising outfielders, you know, I'd be in heaven on that one. Now that's a tall order. I mean, I suspect, you know, two outfielders and absorption of, you know, the Stanton contract is probably not going to be enough, but we also have plenty of prospects that we can throw into a deal. So even if we're looking for the Giants to be the primary distributor of those, I mean, I think we'd still have other guys we'd be willing to give up. So I don't mind those guys staying in the National League. And we have other things we can dangle. I mean, the Giants are out looking for a couple outfielders. They're also looking for a third base. You know, we have one exceptionally fine defensive third baseman in Jed Jerko, and we have one exceptionally not so fine, you know, defensive third baseman in Matt Carpenter. You know, they're both decent hitters, and the franchise has talked about sliding Paul DeJong over to third base possibly. So, you know, there's possibilities there too.
Yeah, and I guess it just speaks to kind of how we started with all this, is that there's so much unknown right now.
Yeah.
That it is very difficult to really pinpoint what is really going to happen with the Cardinals. They have so many different possibilities.
I know.
So many different avenues that they can attack this on. And the problem is going to be that when one thing happens, there's always going to be a critic saying, oh, well, I don't agree with that.
Yep.
And they shouldn't have done that. And to whoever disagrees like that, you know, I'm just like, come on. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
You want the Cardinals to go get Stanton, and all of a sudden people are like, oh, well, we gave up too much for him, or we're taking on too much money. We're going to cripple our farm, you know, our financial stuff. Well,
I agree. You can't
you
have
want
it
to win,
both
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to win, and the goal is to win. Stanton offers the best chance, in my opinion, and I'm sure you agree with that as well, for the Cardinals to win at this point. Now, I think one thing that I want to get your opinion on is where this timing of Stanton's deal falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are, like I said at the beginning of this, we're already 2 days in, almost three full days into the GM meetings now. And I think a lot of people are expecting something to be done at this
mm-hmm.
point or by the end of this week. What happens, or what would be your confidence level in the Cardinals obtaining Stanton if it comes to the end of the week and nothing happens?
I don't think that bothers me particularly, because, you know, there could be other things going on. The Marlins could be trying to get final and best offers from folks. They may be looking at offers for Ozuna or Yelich and saying, you know, can we stand pat with Stanton for another year, trade one of those guys, bring in a bigger load, and we're better off. So I'm not convinced that if this week goes by and nothing transpires, that it is indicative of a deal not happening. Plus, you know, because of the salary. And the balance, as you correctly noted, the balance between, you know, do they want more money relief or do they want more prospects? You know, it's complicated, and it's probably going to take some real serious, you know, thought for them. And you know, the Cardinals are in the middle of some real serious stuff right now. They're trying to figure out, you know, who to put on their 40-man roster, right? I mean, they've stripped it down to, I think, 35. I counted today. And
mm-hmm.
and now they get to decide which of their prime prospects they got to put on there, you know, and who they are willing to leave for the Rule 5 draft. So they, you know, they have issues of their own there. They've got to figure out what they're going to do for the bullpen. I think Mazalek and Gersh have said they want at least two closers, and I know we're going to talk about that issue tonight. So,
mm-hmm.
so there's plenty of work on both sides to be done. So if the week goes by and nothing's happened, no, I don't think it's the end of the Stanton discussion.
No, and I don't think so either. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is do you think that the further it gets away, though, the less likely it's going to happen?
That's a really good question. I think it depends how good the question. I think you always ask good questions, Tito. But I think it depends on how good their intelligence is. I mean, you know, they're sitting there trying to figure out the same things that we are about who else is playing for the guy, and they have a hell of a lot better intelligence than we do, right?
Sure.
I wouldn't think so. Because I don't think the number of teams is really going to broaden considerably. You were the one who said, you know, there's really only a handful of teams who are serious. You know, we can't stop, you know, a big market team from coming in at the last minute, you know, if they want to play. So if the Dodgers or the Red Sox, you know, or the Yankees, you know, have some, you know, package that they're willing to dangle that, you know, and they're willing to eat all the salary. I don't know. I would say it's much more a matter of their Cardinals' intelligence, a matter of Cardinals' package and creativity on the deal. And that just could take, you know, a couple or a few weeks. So.
Yeah, and I think I think you're right on the money saying that, you know, if this drags out a little bit longer than this week, I don't think anybody should be waving the white flag and saying, hey, you know, don't go for it, or it's too late, you know, nothing's going to change. I think you and I both recognize that this is going to be a matter of whether or not the Cardinals feel comfortable with every other move that they're going to potentially make at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the pieces, so it's just going to be a matter of timing. Do they think they can make the push now? And if they can, great. That's wonderful. Get that out of the way and move on to other things. And that's what I've been noticing on our Cynic Cardinals Twitter pals that we all follow, is that the further away, you know, this week becomes, the more people get anxious that something's not going to happen. And, you know, you see it all the time. Oh, well, if something doesn't happen by Friday, Cardinals aren't going to land him. Like, if that's the way we're going to go approaching about this, then we might as well have thrown in the white towel yesterday and said, screw it, let's move on and let's go get other stuff and get a, you know, more solidified team and less money spent.
You know what? I mean, people, you know, you and I haven't talked about, and I think we've probably talked about it in previous weeks enough, the whole question of whether it's worth the risk to do this damn deal. But that aside, I totally agree with what you're saying, and I think people should not freak out. People should remember the Cardinals have made both really good deals early on, and they've made some really bad deals early on in the offseason, right? When they had to deal with the terrible, unexpected tragedy related to Oscar Tavares, you know, they were able to go out and make the Jason Hayward deal, you know, very quickly, right? But they also kind of panicked last year, right, and made the Brett Cecil deal, you know, which was a high dollar amount, you know, for a middle to maybe closer to the end of the game reliever who turned out to have a pretty, you know, mediocre year. So I think, you know, making the right deal is much more significant than whether it happens in this week or 2 weeks from now. And I think ultimately it won't matter if people panic this week, because if the right deal is ultimately made, then all will be forgiven and we'll move on and look forward.
Yeah.
Look forward to a prosperous year. So.
Right. And I think we just have to be patient. Right. I think that's the biggest thing that you could potentially say to anybody right now is just say, hey, you know, be patient with some of this. It's going to take some time. And that's really all you can do. You know, we're kind of at the mercy of you know, everybody else. We can't.
Yep.
You know, the Cardinals exactly. have to play it, be methodical, and I can't really think of anybody better than John Mozeliak to be methodical in a certain process. But that being said, we are going to take our first break. Great conversation so far with Larry. We're going to go on and move to our next topic, and that's going to be the closer situation. But just stick with us for one quick second. You're listening to the Official Redbird Rants podcast, episode 38. We'll be back in a second. And thanks for joining us tonight. I'm still your host with Tito Rivera, and I'm still with Larry. We just got done talking about Giancarlo Stanton, and we kind of dipped into a little bit of what's going on with the St. Louis Cardinals right now in the GM meetings and this offseason. But we're going to switch gears now to the closer situation and what's going on with Alex Colome, who is the closer, the current closer for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Yesterday, it was reported that the Cardinals and Tampa Bay Rays had some discussion on Colome. I actually ended up writing a piece on the closer just to throw out some numbers to see, you know, what we were potentially getting. And Larry, I've got to be honest, I've been watching Colome for the last 2 years, mainly because of fantasy baseball. He's a good pitcher. Mm-hmm.
He is a very good pitcher. And, you know, he's the 2 years ago when, correct me if I'm wrong, he had, 47 saves. He was, 100% lights out. And then last year he was still good. I mean, he had 37 saves. As you pointed out in your article, his FIP is an aggregate of, 315?
Yeah.
You know, and he brings the strikeouts. And he's a guy who I think you have enough data at this point to believe, you know, can fulfill the back end of the bullpen and can do it, you know, for the next 3 years that he's under control, you know, at a very reasonable cost. So, you know, I liked your column. I think he's a real prospect. I'm sure we'll talk about the free agents that are out there. But in terms of combination of, you know, quality and, you know, affordability, you know, he absolutely is right up there if we can find a match with the Rays. I know the Cardinals anticipated, you know, going into the offseason, Tito, that they were going to be more likely to find their closer, you know, in free agency than they were, you know, in a trade. With the hitter more likely to come in a trade, but I don't think they were. I don't think they were limiting themselves. I think they were just saying that's a more likely scenario, you know. But if they can find somebody the quality of Colome, I think they'd go all in if the deal was right. What do you think?
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I love the point that you just made actually because of the free agency aspect. You know, earlier in the offseason, you know, pretty much, I guess, first couple of days of the offseason, John Mozeliak, you know, went on radio, said, we're going to find our closer through free agency, which means we're going to be spending some high earned dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But how can they do that if they go get Stanton?
Right.
You know,
good point. Yeah.
I'm just being realistic here. You're
right.
Going to be taking on, let's assume that the Cardinals take on 85 to 90% of Stanton's deal, which next year his salary is $25 million, and about 85% would be about right around $21.25 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you're adding that, plus you're going to add on a $13 million or $14 or $15 million in either Greg Holland or Wade Davis. Doesn't make much sense for the Cardinals. You know, we talk about their, you know, their fiscal and their ability to be conservative in their money a little bit.
Right.
Most of the time. I just don't see the Cardinals landing Stanton and going after a free agent closer like that. Would it be great to have a Wade Davis or Greg Holland? Absolutely. But
yeah.
I just don't see the Cardinals spending that kind of money.
I guess there are a few different things. One is, you know, what we alluded to a little bit is if you did acquire a Stanton, you know, whether the Marlins would be eating part of the cost, we don't know. The next thing is we have, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have this year and then we're done on what is a pretty expensive Wainwright contract. we also talked about the possibility of a trade involving Stephen Piscotty, which is, while not a lot of money, is still, you know, significant dollars. So, and then on top of that, you have, what we know is now a new contract with Fox Sports, going from Fox Sports Midwest, going from, you know, the last year of the previous deal, which was estimated, at least the public information I saw, which was estimated at about a $35 million rights deal for the Cardinals in 2017, you know, to a deal in 2018 that looks like it's going to start at between $50 and $55 million, you know, plus inflation, plus equity in the deal.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, you know, so they, even a team with – even a team that's been that had some trepidation to spend, you know, it might be a time where they're feeling a little more comfortable. And you know, as we've talked about, you know, they really dropped this year in terms of their payroll. I mean, they had, for the better part of a decade, you know, they'd been sitting in the top 10 in MLB, and this last year they fell down, I think, to about 14th. And, you know, so I think there's some money to spend. So, yeah, I think it would be a – I think it would be a big commitment to do both. I don't think it's impossible to do both.
Yeah, and I'm not saying impossible, I guess, and I don't mean it that way.
Mm-hmm.
My just thought process is, if you don't have to overspend, why would you do it?
Especially on a closer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because look what just happened with Brett Cecil. I mean,
think
of the two, and I know people love these guys, and I certainly don't blame them. They're the best closers on the market right now, Greg Holland and Wade Davis. But
mm-hmm.
they both have something in common right now that maybe they've moved on from, and maybe they haven't, but they both have had injuries in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Holland had Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago at this point. And while, yes, he's further removed from it, his arm is getting strength back, it's stretching out a little bit more. Wade Davis was just hurt, you know, 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And while he was good, you have to be concerned. And so I just think the Cardinals are probably going to play this safer and explore that option of Colomé from the Rays, and maybe even somebody like Edwin Diaz from Seattle, who is, you know, a young guy who's going to be controllable for the next couple of years because he still has arbitration years left in him. Colomé
mm-hmm.
only has like 2 years. We're talking Diaz here, and he's got at least 4 years
well,
of
that's
team
right.
control.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the Cardinals are looking to be smart, and that's to be expected. And that's when I see a deal, you know, when I see rumors about Colomé or somebody else, like a Diaz, you know, form, that's just being smart, and that's being a good GM and a good president of baseball operations, I should say, because Mozeliak's no longer the GM, although
right.
you probably wouldn't tell the difference. But that's what I'm seeing. So I just want to get, you know, a couple more thoughts from you on that, and then we can, you know, continue that conversation.
I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, it's, you know, Holland, you know, first of all, Holland looked super phenomenal the first half of the year. And then he slid for about a month and a half, and then he came back reasonably strong at the end. And, you know, and I love Wade Davis as well, but yeah, there's injury risk. And as you say, you're definitely going to spend, you know, considerably more for either one of them. Now there are other options out there that might be a less expensive proposition, like an Addison Reed, and I'd be curious to get your opinion on that. But, you know, one of the challenges on dealing with for either Diaz or for or Colomé is, you know, whether they're going to be asking for chips that you, you know, are trying to hold on to make your big hitter deal. And that's another reason, and you asked about the timing and whether if this week passes that we'd be, you know, we wouldn't be likely to see a Stanton deal. And this is yet another aspect of why we're in super complicated territory, because you could easily have teams asking for the same Cardinal prospects or players for in exchange for a closer as you could in a deal for a hitter. So, you know, how they're going to parcel out their part is a huge part of it. So, you know, so I'd be happy with either of the guys you mentioned from either Tampa or Seattle. But what are your thoughts about other free agent prospects like Addison Reed?
I'm not sold on him. I don't know what it is. Like, I know he's a good relief pitcher. I'm just not sold on him being the closer for the St. Louis Cardinals. I think, you know, what's the common sentiment right now about the closer is get the best one available. Is he the best available to you?
No.
No. So,
no.
I don't.
And we've seen him be great.
Get,
we've seen him be terrible. So, yeah.
Right. And so I understand why people are invested in him. He's a consistent pitcher, and he's consistently good is what I should say.
Mm.
But he's not the best available, and everybody is demanding the best. And right now, those two pitchers, if you're going through free agency, are Greg Holland or Wade Davis. And that's it. And both of them are going to be tied to a compensation pick, so you might as well say, you know what, cool,
right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But you're going to get one back in Lance Lynn, assuming he doesn't re-sign with the Cardinals, so that's okay with me. So, again, I think the Cardinals are just doing the best that they can to gauge the market at this point because nothing has really solidified. But if it was me, if I was John Mozeliak right now and Mike Gersh, I would, and I know that I'm on the verge of getting Giancarlo Stanton and I'm picking up a nice hefty tab, I'm not going after those guys. I'm not going to find my closer through free agency. I'd rather save the money and beef up, and I'd rather get somebody through a trade like Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the most, that place makes the most sense because of their needs, pitching and outfield health. And in my article, I mentioned, you know, Austin Gomber would be a perfect fit there.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've heard the Rays are looking for right-handed pitching help. Well, the Cardinals got that too.
Yeah, they do.
So I could really see something along the lines of a Colomé for Austin Gomber and Randall Gritchett. I really do think that could be a potential trade. What do you think?
I think, you know, it's teetering right on the edge of what I would give up. You know, I was actually talking about this earlier this evening with my son, and we agreed that, you know, a Colomé for Gritchick plus maybe not the first tier of who the Cardinals want to hold on to, but the second tier, you know, would probably be an appropriate kind of trade balance. So that makes sense to me. I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary or that would, you know, cause that deal to be perceived as a tilt strongly in one direction or the other. That's one that's going to play itself out based on, you know, how the players do over the next couple of years. But I think, you know, if sports writers saw that deal, Gomber and Gritchick for Colomé, I don't think they'd flinch, you know, one iota or say one team got hosed or one team hosed the other team. I think it's a very reasonable proposition.
Yeah, and again, the Cardinals are dealing from their strength, and I think they understand that they have a lot of pitching, and so they can be a little bit more flexible with who they give out. Personally, I don't think at that point Colomé would be worth a top-tier pitcher. You're not going to give up a Hudson or Flaherty for him. And so if that's what the Rays, you know, were saying, hey, that's who we want, then there's no deal on the table. But I think they can be a little bit more flexible with somebody like that. And maybe it's possible that the Cardinals, you know, do even better and dip into a, you know, their third tier of starting pitching, you know, young prospects, and do and give out two of those and Grichuk for, you know, Alex Colomé.
I think that's
a certainly reasonable potential as well. But I think one thing that I really want to hear your comments on is the potential for a Colomé and Chris Archer package. Now, that's something that definitely intrigues me, but as we've mentioned over, you know, throughout the night, it's going to cost some prospects. So what are your thoughts on that?
I'm not, and our colleague Dan Campbell and I wrote, and it's going to, I think, roll out over the weekend, if I remember right, a lengthy slider about Luke Weaver. So I'll leave it at that. We had different views about who he is, what he's about, and whether the Cardinals should keep him or trade him. So the subject of Chris Archer came up a little there. Here's my feeling about Chris Archer. Very fine pitcher, proven major league pitcher, solid guy, like him a lot. But for me right now, you know, if I'm prioritizing what I want for the Cardinals, I think I want that end of the bullpen solidified, and I want the big man in the 3-4-5 part of the order solidified that will make everybody around him that much better. You know, I think one of the things that's not talked about nearly enough in the trade for a hitter, and then I'll come back to Chris, is that, you know, the Cardinal hitters, a lot of them have been asked to do more and to sit in different places in the lineup than they really are capable of doing, you know, at their optimum capacity. Once you put in, you know, a big bat in the middle, not only does it add that big bat, but it allows the other people to, you know, thrive. All of a sudden you're asking a guy, you know, to be the great, you know, number six hitter or the great number seven hitter instead of the great number three or number five hitter, you know, and you can get an awful lot more value out of that person if they're slotted properly. So that's another reason that I favor, you know, focusing our assets, both financial and trade, on a hitter. And then I think it's essential, you know, because of what's happened with the end of the bullpen, because of O's failures this year, because of Trevor Rosenthal basically being out of commission, and because we don't yet have confidence in a young pitcher that can fill the end of the bullpen spot, it's essential that we go after one or two pitchers there. For me, while I recognize that because of trading Marco Gonzalez and because of trading Mike Leake and because of the surgery for Alex Reyes, I recognize that we're thinner than we would like to be. However, I think we have, as you've alluded to, tremendous depth in near major league starting pitching. And by that I define, you know, those who either we can try out this year or will be, you know, ready in September or spring training 19. And I would just really not want to trade away significant assets, you know, for a guy like Archer. He has a very nice contract, if I recall correctly. I'm not looking at it. I believe he has $33 million left on his contract. So he's nicely priced. Very team friendly, four-year contract. You know, so there's certainly value on his contract. But that would also mean, you know, providing probably more value, you know, from a prospect or a player perspective, you know, because he is undervalued, so, and he's worth more. So my answer is, you know, I like the Colomé, I like the Big Bopper, but I am just not bullish at this point on either a trade for a guy like Archer or, for that matter, a free agent contract, you know, for a guy like Arrieta. Now, I will say, and I've said this from the end of the season, I do think the Cardinals will
look at the lesser free agent pitchers, you know, as we morph into December and January, and maybe even the non-roster invitee kind of pitchers, you know, for the possibility of the 4 or 5 spot in the rotation. But at this point, I'm not bullish on going out there and either spending a lot or trading a lot for the top flight guy. What about you?
Oh, man. I'll start with Archer first. And
okay.
I want to go back to something that you said about, you know, you're not too sold on him being the top guy, right? Is that what you were saying?
I think he's a fine pitcher. It's just not at this point. It's not a special enough asset that would make me give up the kind of value that we'd have to for a guy who, as you said, you know, is not getting paid probably as much as his pitching value should indicate.
Right. Okay. So here's the thing about Chris Archer that, you know, that comes to mind, and it's kind of like what you're saying, you know, he's a great pitcher, but he's not great all the time.
No.
He's not a Max Scherzer. He's not a Clayton Kershaw, who are normally great all the time. He reminds me somewhat of a little bit more polished Carlos Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Great fastball, great off-speed stuff, but then every other outing he gets hit hard. And so I'm a little wary of that happening in St. Louis. Now, I think St. Louis is a bit of a more pitcher's park than Tampa Bay's dome.
Yeah.
So I think his stuff would translate well in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's going to take a lot to get him. It will take a lot to get both him and Coleman in the same deal. Can it be done? Absolutely. But I guarantee you some of the prospects that Tampa Bay would want would probably be gone in a deal for Stanton. So I think that would be the kicker to this ever happening. Could it still happen? Potentially. But I think the Cardinals have made it very clear that their intention is to go get that impact hitter first and
mm-hmm.
then do business from there. And so everything is just kind of on hold until Stanton's fate has been decided,
mm-hmm.
which is okay, I guess, in some regards. And it goes back to our point from earlier in the show is, you know, how much longer are the Cardinals going to be waiting on these things? And so that's kind of where I find myself. But before I get to the rest of the free agent pitchers, we got to take one more quick break. And just so stick with us, we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode 38. We were just talking about the pending trades potentially with Tampa Bay over Alex Colomay and Chris Archer. And we're going to go ahead and get into the free agent pitchers that the Cardinals have been linked to here in the last couple days, namely Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta. And Larry wanted to know what my opinion on was over those two pitchers. And if I had to pick one, I'd pick neither. But if I really had to pick one, I would probably go with Arrieta because he's
mm-hmm.
more familiar. And I think Yu Darvish basically showed his flaws last year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically showed that, you know what, maybe he's not as good as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a problem. And we know what Arrieta could do when healthy. And you know, over this last season, he was hurt. And there's just no other, you know, there's no other rhyme or reason to it. He was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he wasn't the same kind of pitcher we all expected him to be. And so I think the Cardinals, while, yes, I'm sure they do have interest in one or both,
mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a play to push the boundaries of how much the team is going to have to pay for them.
Yeah.
I think that's where this is heading. And I think that's kind of exactly what they did a couple of years ago when John Lester was on the free agent market before joining the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cardinals only, you know, went after John Lester because they knew that the Cubs were going to go, so they tried to push as much as they could to see how far
mm-hmm.
the Cubs were willing to go to pay for this.
Right.
And the Cubs need starting pitching. You know, they can't just have John Lester and Kyle Hendricks do it. John Lackey's not going to cut it. I guess they have Jose Quintana, but I'm not convinced that he is what they paid for. You know, what they paid for.
Right.
So I think if the Cardinals are serious about getting a starting pitcher, again, I hate sounding like a broken record, but it's all going to depend on the Stanton trade, because if they're adding, again, 20, let's assume, again, that they're adding at least 85% of this contract,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're adding $21 million on top of a pitcher who's going to command at least another, you know, $18 to $20 million. So you're $40 million deep in two players, you know, occupying two roster spots when you have three more to go for a 40-man
right.
roster.
Right.
And that's just not the Cardinals' MO. It's
yeah.
not. It never has been. And that part, you know, that's – I'm not saying that's why they lost out on David Price or, you know, Max Scherzer, but they have a limit. And they're not going to overspend – even whenever we say, oh, you know what, do it anyway because we know you have that TV deal. That means nothing to me because it doesn't mean anything to the Cardinals.
Right.
They could have all the money in the world, but that doesn't mean they're going to spend it all in one go.
Exactly. There's also a couple others out there, and, you know, most notably, you know, one that looks very much stat-wise, like Lance Lynn, and that's Alex Cobb. Now, I happen to believe that, you know, because of the Tampa Bay connection, it's entirely possible that the Cubs will, you know, try and persuade Alex to come to Chicago. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I still think that there are a few pitchers out there, and we've seen this almost every year, Tito, where, you know, the market waits to see what the few top free agent pitchers get. And then the, you know, what happens is the waterfall effect where, you know, you wait to see now that you know that that you was worth, you know, $19.8 million average annual value, you know, for 4 years, you know, now it's like, okay, now we can better evaluate what Andrew Keschner's worth, or we can better evaluate what Matt Garza's worth, you know, or kind of the guys as you, and then you dip even further down, you know, the line, and you say, you know, what is a Wade Miley worth? What is a Tyler Chatwood worth? You know, every team's going to have a different perception, but often the logjam just needs to be broken with the few top people. And I could see the Cardinals, as they're staging their offseason and their priorities, I could just easily see them sitting in their, you know, in their operating room saying, you know, we don't have the ability right now to devote the time and attention to the top guys, and we really aren't going to play for the top free agent guys anyway, and it's not likely that we're going to get a number one or a number two starting pitcher from another team by trade. You know, let's focus on our hitters and our relievers. And then we'll evaluate. We'll look come December 20th or January 10th, and we'll look and we'll see who's available. And we'll you know, we'll rank order them, and we'll look at what we think they're worth on the open market now that the top five or six guys have gone, you know, and we'll either make an offer, or if those guys are still around at the end of January, you know, invite them to camp. So that's really the approach I think they will take with starting pitching. And I think, you know, they may even give an opportunity. They
unless they trade Luke Weaver, they know they're going in with Seamart and Waka and Weaver. They think they're going in with Wainwright. I think it's a dread mistake, but that's what they think. So I think they may give one of their young guys like Flaherty, you know, or Hudson a chance, and they may, for insurance, invite a couple of veteran starters to camp, and with the possibility of, you know, of signing one if they haven't, you know, picked up a mid-level starter, say in January, you know, on a couple-year $15 million contract. That's kind of the way I think they're going to approach it on starters. What's your thought?
I think you're right. I think they're going to be – I think they'll stick to the middle of the pack starters. I'm really hoping, though, that they do get somebody that can complement Carlos Martinez. I'm not saying he can't be the ace, but what I'm saying is that he hasn't shown me anything to believe that he is the ace right now that the Cardinals need. And my dad and I go on back and forth with this, is that whether, you know, he can do it or not. And I think he can. I think he can be the ace. It's just he needs to show it. He needs to prove to everybody else that it can be done. So I would prefer the Cardinals to find some kind of compliment to him. But then again, I think about one thing that we haven't really mentioned tonight is the fact that Alex Reyes, you know, will be back in the rotation some point next, next season.
Yeah.
And I think about that, and I think of his potential to be a future ace, you know, down the road here in the next 2 to 3 years. And I think the Cardinals recognize that he is the best pitching prospect they've had in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to ride that. And they're going to say, you know what, here's the ball, kid, go get it. And
yeah.
I think they will add at some point some complementary pieces to that rotation. And like you said, you know, after this year, Wainwright's contract's up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done after this, but I guess I shouldn't say that too loud. I'm, you know, fear of him retaliation. But,
right, we get in trouble when we say that.
Yeah. but what I'm saying is that you're going to get Alex Reyes to lose Adam Wainwright. You're losing Lance Lynn. You're going to have to at some point get a big time starter to help complement all these pieces, especially if we're of the mindset that Carlos Martinez isn't going to be the ace that we all think he is.
You know, 2 years ago, I would have said he is. 2 years ago, I would have said he is, and he's always going to be. Now, we weren't so sure after this year. You know, we're going to see what Luke Weaver is this year. His upside potential is extraordinary. We don't know if he'll hit it. But, yeah, I think they're going to ride with the youngsters plus some fill-ins, and then hopefully Reyes will be, you know, strong enough by midseason to throw a few more innings, and that would be exciting to see.
I know it's a tough situation, and I think we could continue this conversation pretty much all night on what options the Cardinals have at starting pitching, but you know, we only have an hour for this podcast and
only 30 seconds,
you know,
now.
Right. By the time you know it, it's pretty much over. So, just one quick final prediction from you, Larry, and before we sign off, give me an estimated date of when Giancarlo Stanton gets dealt.
I think he will get dealt on, today's the 16th. I think he will get dealt on December 14th. What about you?
December 14th for Larry. For kicks and giggles, I'll say next Wednesday because it's my birthday next Wednesday.
Great birthday present.
Yes, that would be great. Hey, David Freese got traded on my birthday not too long ago, and I thought that was a great birthday present. But I'm going to say he gets dealt December 24th, Christmas present for the St. Louis Cardinals. How about that?
Oh, that sounds perfect.
All right. So that's going to do it for us here at Redbird Rants. This is the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode 38. We will see you guys next time. Have a great night.
Take care.